Blog Talk Radio.
Grace. Peace. Joy. Faith. Love. Dr. V.
Here I am.
song. I love it so much. Listen, this is Dr. V. You are tuned in to Dr. V with Love. We are live tonight. It's been a minute. Welcome back. So glad that you just, you know, you're our faithful followers, and we're grateful for you. We thank God for you at every turn. Over the last 8 or 9 years, you've just been there for us. Allow God to just speak to your heart through us. And we have been forever trying to show you just how much God loves you in a very special way. For years, Pastor Latina A2J and myself were just tag teaming and sharing the love of Jesus, the Word of God, unapologetically and uncompromising, we hope and pray so that you can see clearly Jesus. And so tonight's segment, showing Jesus to your children. And getting ahead of ourselves, you know, around this year, we normally do Fall in Love Again by Christmas, and we still may do that a little bit, but we focus on parents. And look back over archives, we've got very little to increase the relationship, talks about rather, increase the relationship between the parent and the child, and or the child seeing Jesus in the parent. You know, this is a Christian-based station, and, you know, we just, you know, want to lift up Jesus on every hand. But we're just looking back and making sure that our content reflects the heart of God in a well-rounded way. So we're going to focus on children for the month of November. How about that? And their relationship with God, you being the first mentor, you being the first teacher in our lives, according to the scripture. Deuteronomy says that we should teach our children 4 times a day where God brought us from. And, of course, and we move over to the New Testament. Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Encourage you in that wise. Is that all right? Okay, so Latino, ATJ is working tonight, but he said he's going to try to call in. And he said Richard may call in. Pastor Richard may call in, and I pray that. I pray they got the right number, because I certainly did send them the wrong number earlier today, and I apologize for that. But I did post up on Facebook instead of just the number to call in. You call in as well. I have your friends to call in and ask questions during the conversation. We always invite you to do that. But what we do unapologetically and unashamedly, we open the broadcast up by praying, asking the Holy Spirit to just be the real host, and we be the co-host. How about that? Because he's the one that leads us and guides us to all truth, right? Amen, he does. And I want to apologize for my boys. I got a slight allergies and stuff like that going on, but we can get past that, right? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you for being such a good God, such an awesome God, such a faithful God, such a trustworthy God, such a loving God. Oh, God, we lean and depend on you, especially the Holy Spirit, doing this broadcast as he leads us in the content, oh, God, that will change lives, that will turn children's hearts toward Jesus through their parents, oh, God, and or even vice versa, if the case may be. And so, Father, we just ask you to let our words be clear and simple like the gospel is, and let our hearts stay open for how you would lead us. Someone listening to this broadcast live or archive, that they might be touched in a very special way and drawn closer to you. Most of all, that they would know just how much you love them. Father, we thank you for all these blessings, and it's in your Son Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So after this selection, hallelujah, praise, we're going to come back and we're going to jump into the content, and hopefully by then our co-host, Richard and Latino ATJ will join us. If not, hallelujah, praise. Enjoy.
we praise him. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for the wine, and they just know how to take you there. Amen. You know how to do that and do that well. If you just tune in, you tune in to Dr. B with Love. This is our broadcast. It's going to be coming to you. I guess we would call this segment Love Script, where we're showing the love of Jesus to our children as parents, and we're encouraging our parents to do so. Latino A2J is going to be joining me either on this minute. He's been busy, you know, moving up the ranks in his ministry. He's now Pastor Latino A2J. Yay! Woo-hoo. So I went to his installation service. It was a beautiful service a few months ago. And Brother Richard, of course, is a sage. Amen. And he's Latino mentor. And they were going to be joining us tonight and on this series. And so stay tuned for that, because you know we love to hear from a male perspective. Amen. And these are two learned men of God, and they got something to say. Something to say. And of course, me, Dr. B, yes, that would be me. I got something to say, too. Boy, with the Word of God, has something to say. When I think about, you know, the fact that God has blessed Dr. V, I have one biological daughter, two foster daughters, and four grandchildren. More than that, she can count them. But I got all the cheering that they call me Nana. It would be more than a few. So I thank God for all the children that God has given me. And I think sometimes we think, particularly those that are in ministry, think just because we are called, you know, we're called to preach or to teach or, you know, to work in the ministry in some form or fashion, that our kids automatically just follow along with us. It goes, okay, you got Jesus, I got Jesus too. But you know, that's not the way it works, right? As a matter of fact, the enemy comes in, and I'm sure he assigns people to what we call PK kids, kids that are preacher's kids that just want to make sure that, number one, they begin to begrudge the amount of time and energy and focus and resources that their parents have to pour into the ministry in order to serve so many others. And I'm sure a lot of times they feel like they get the short end of the stick, as it were. They get neglected sometimes for ministry. And in some cases, when we're out of balance, I can say that because I'm a minister, we're out of balance ourselves, our kids do get not as much attention as they should. And I repented to my daughter and my grandkids for that, for being so ministry focused that I forget that my family needs me and needs me in a good way. And so I want to start there. I want to start right there and saying to those that are listening, particularly those in ministry, that begin to really monitor. I'm not saying take anything away from God and the ministry, but I am saying also don't take what they see in you. And because they're so close, they're the first ones to see your hypocrisy. They're the first one to see that you're out of balance. They're the first one to see that, you know, you work Monday through Friday. You work at the church all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and then you start working for the man again on Monday and go to Friday again. And so you may miss a few games. You may miss a few PTA meetings. You may miss a few recitals and or some important dates, or you don't have time to teach me how to drive, or you don't have time to take me out, you know, to my favorite restaurant, that kind of thing. And sometimes we do, but a lot of times, come on. The social hour that our children get with us is when we're socializing with the rest of the church. In other words, at church dinners after anniversaries, and we go from one anniversary to the next, you know, the choir anniversary, the usher anniversary, the pastor's anniversary, the deacon's anniversary, all of this. And so we end up eating dinner at church with a bunch of other people, you know, most of the time, you know, probably 40 at private dinner time with their parents. I know I've been guilty of that. I'm sure some of you listening have been or are guilty of that as well. So I'm just encouraging you. Sit down with your family. Sit down with your children and go, what would you like to do? I have 20 Sundays available that I'm dedicating this year to the family and the family alone. What would you like to do? Where would you like to eat? Where would you like to go? Would you just like to have a nice, quiet evening at home? You know, put something you want to do on the agenda. That way they'll feel like they're being considered in your annual planning, as it were, of the church calendar. Did you factor in? Did you schedule in? Did you leave time out for your children, for your family, for your wife, your spouse, your husband, and the kids, and the grandkids, and in some cases, the cousins come unto him? He says, such is the kingdom of God. And so, leaders, in particular, parents, for sure, don't get so caught up in making a living, building a powerful ministry, being a great community leader, what have you, whatever you're doing, that your own family, and particularly your own children, get neglected. Ponder on that point. When is the last time your children just had some private time with you? Not just talking about tucking them in bed at the end of a long day, you're exhausted in their sleep, or praying over them, or come on, let's pray, you know, before you go to bed, but have you spent any time with them leftovers? So I want you to ponder that. I want you to think about that, because for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about not only what we're doing wrong, but we're going to also talk about what we can do right, how we can improve that. How can we improve showing Jesus to our own children? From Bible study, from spending time, from explaining some things about how life really rolls out based from a Christian perspective. And not only that, being human, being honest, being transparent, being loving, being kind, being, helping them to see how to, on a daily basis, they can lean and depend on Jesus for counsel. Okay. Hi, it's Dr. V with Dr. V with Love. Who's just joined? Latino or Richard? Okay. You know, Latino or Richard, you there? Ah, okay. I have to find out how.
Can you hear me?
Hello. Now I can hear you. Is this Latino?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Okay. See, God loves us so much. Yeah. So, thank you. I'm so sorry I sent you the wrong number. They gave me the wrong number. But we're in. I'm glad you're in. I know, and you were going to join us in on our conversation where we're talking. I don't know if you had any time to listen before you came on, but we're talking about as parents and as ministry leaders how we can show Jesus to our children. And one way I put up tonight, Latino, for them doing that is really spending time with their children. You know, we got 52 Sundays in a year, but how many of those Sundays are dedicated to just family time? Just me and my kids, right. Me and my wife, my spouse, you know, my children. This is our time. We're not having dinner with the church and the church family and community, but this is our time. Because a lot of PK kids feel like, you know, parents were too busy for them, and the only time they got to eat with them was when they were at the church eating dinner with the rest of the church. And how we even more bring that to imbalance when we're at church while they're at their own plays and football games and dance recitals and we're not there. Bring in balance to the time we spend with our children so we will have opportunity to show them Jesus. Like Jesus says, suffer the children to come unto me for such as what? The kingdom of God. And so children coming to him taking time to be with them, to talk with them, and to impart it to them. So I'm sure you got something to add to that conversation, Pastor Latino.
Well, it is interesting that everything that the society has right now for our kids is to isolate them and draw them away from interaction with even other people. They can't have a conversation with someone else unless it's through a device. You know, they feel more free and they feel more comfortable. So it draws them away from interaction that does not involve that piece of device. And you know, and it's sad that we come to a place where technology is supposed to be doing something better for us, and what it's actually doing is splitting the family up even more. It's because it's coming straight into the house. It's not, they don't do this outside. Before, if we wanted to hang out with the guys or the girls, they had to leave the house and be at a certain place for a period of time, and then they had to come back home. So that time was spent with other people, but it was limited. Now the devices come right into our homes and right into where we are and split us up while we're sitting right with each other. And you hit it on the head. It's time. We have to spend time with our kids. It's easy to give a kid a laptop and put them in the corner or turn on the TV and put them over there so you can do what you're going to do. But, I mean, how much time are we really spending with our kids? When we take the clock of one day, 24 hours, and we divide that into what we put towards our children, what we put towards our job, and what we put towards the things that we enjoy, our family or our kids are on the bottom of that list. They're not the priority. They're like, well, I have to work to give them things. No, you're working for other reasons, and the excuse is to give my kids a better life. You can buy them a better house. You can buy them a nice car. But you can't buy them unity. You can't buy them a relationship with you that's not friendship. And that's another thing. I mean, there's like 20 different issues that can be added to this conversation, because most parents want to be their kids' friends, and that's not the recipe. You're not called to be your kids' friends. You're called to be their parent, and as a parent, you have responsibility to do things for them and to them that they may not like. Restrict them from certain friendships.
And you have a responsibility to do things with them.
Right. And that's the thing. Kids don't want to do things with you, because you've allowed them to create their own world without you. So when they create it without you, it feels weird when you get in it. So you can't do a drive-by, a visit with them, because they feel weird because they don't have that relationship with you that's sincere and real about issues in their life, because half the time you don't know who their real friends are. You don't know what music they like. You barely know what their teachers' names are. You barely know what kids they hang out in school. You can't, God forbid, you let them go spend the night at somebody's house. You can't even do that anymore because you don't know
what
you're sending them.
That's true. You know, a few years ago, my granddaughter was on, you know, she had Facebook site. So I went over to her site and started reading some of her posts. Why are you feeling that way and this and that? You know, I got all intrusive. Of course, it wasn't long before they went from Facebook to another little whatever the little Instagram thing came on. So I didn't follow her over to Instagram. But she went away to college and she's got her books in college. And so I'm spending more time with her, you know, socially and doing dinner things and stuff like that. But it was a period. She was only, 15 to 16 years old. And I was concerned about what she was posting on Facebook. And I think some of our parents do, like you say, we let them get in the corner in their rooms behind closed doors and spend hours and hours and hours on the social media. And again, they're eating in their room, they're watching television, they're doing computer stuff in their room, and they have learned how to not be sociable with us in our homes, and we've allowed that. And then, of course, we're out in the public and or at church or whatever like that, unless we're directly engaged with them, we're not spending any quality time with our children. So how do they really know how we feel about Jesus? And how are we really showing them the love of God if we're not spending time with them, knowing what they're thinking and imparting to them, you know, what good thoughts?
is concerning their relationship with Jesus.
Right, because they're trying to live, we're trying to give them our relationship with Christ.
Right.
That doesn't work for them. They have to create their own. It's like I have my daughter has friends and my wife has friends. Their relationship is not the same relationship with me. They can't give me the relationship that they have with their friends because they're different. Their friends can't be as open with me as my daughter can because my daughter is my daughter, and I've invested in getting to know her. I've invested in trying to gear her character and her morals and her ability to know right from wrong. And I think it's not only parents, but most Christian parents get their keys from the church or get their techniques from the church or get their guidance from the church. And the problem with churches today is that they're teaching the Christians how to deal with the world instead of teaching them how to deal with life. When you deal with the world has certain specific things that call success, and that is the world and now the Christians. If you have a good job, if you have a nice car, if you have all these things that are material things, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is when that becomes the priority, your children pick up the same priorities, and those priorities have nothing to do with God because God does not care about the exterior of your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to show you how to deal with life, not deal with the world, because dealing with the world means you have a great job, you have a good car, you have a nice home. Those are worldly things because the whole world is running after those things, success and becoming someone that's popular. That's what the world wants. Christ and God, that's not what they're working on. Everything God gives us is to change the inside of us, to change our character, to change our morals, to change our integrity, so that when we step into a situation, our very character shows the world there's something different here because the same thing that's running us is not running them. We may get these blessings from God, which are a house, a car, prestige, a job. We might get them, but those things cannot have us. Because if the priority is God, whether we have those things or not, it will not matter in our character. My attitude will not change if I have money or if I don't, because my hope, my trust, and my relationship is grounded in Christ. Children today, anything that upsets them, they go on a ramp. I mean, they completely have a meltdown when they don't get what they want or they think people owe them things. What mentality is that? That's the world's mentality. That everybody, you ask a kid nowadays, what's success? And they'll tell you, having a show on TV.
Mm.
That's because success to them is being known by the world. That's why Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, that's why those things excel, because kids put snapshots of their life up there, and they only put the good parts. And where do they learn that from? They learn that from their parents, their young parents, that only put on Facebook the highlights of their life. They don't put the down parts. Their life is almost like a movie where they only show you the trailer, and in the trailer, it's only the good parts. They don't show you the bad parts that may bore you. They show you the good parts. So if you look at Facebook, everybody's happy. But when you meet them in real life, that's not the case. And because they live for that popularity, they want to make sure that that is what people see. So when you get to try to have a relationship with someone, you can't apart from a phone because you don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to have a bad day and not let the day become bad for you. We're Christians, we don't live perfect lives, and our days are not always glamorous. They're not always straight in the bosom of God. But we learn that I don't serve God because of what he gives me. I serve him because of who he is. And if today it rains when I need it to be sunny and I get upset at him, my life, my relationship just showed a picture of what I really want him for. That it bleeds into everything. We have to teach our kids that it's not about what good things happen to them. It's about knowing who's in control of their future because we never know what bad thing may actually be something good for the future, but we get stuck on the fact that it's not comfortable, it's not good for us right now, it doesn't make us feel good right now. Your feelings, they're not, God does not move you through feelings. He does not communicate to you through feelings. When Jesus was on that cross, everything he felt was negative. He didn't run, he did not go with the feelings he had. He went with the focus he had. He knew, this is why I came. This is the very reason I'm here. We always see what's in front of us, and if it's painful, we want to back away from it instead of saying, what purpose does God have for this in my life? Because if God is controlling my life, if he is the one that is orchestrating the things in my life, this event did not get past him. How can I glorify him in it? The problem is that too many people are trying to glorify themselves, and they push that into their children. The children want to be, they want to be recognized. They want to be they want to be famous. They want people to tell them how beautiful they are, how great they are, how talented they are, and it's all about them. Christianity, when you first get saved, it's about you. After you get saved, it is 100% about God and about what your life is going to do to produce glory for his name. And kids don't have that. If you tell kids about glory, they kind of back up and say, glory means it's boring. Anything that has to do with God has got to be boring. Because that's what society's telling them. And us, by running after the things that society runs after, we're telling them you're right. So we're going to try to change what Christ is so it'll appease you. Change what Christ is so you'll be comfortable with it, so that you'll accept it. Because whatever you get to bring your kids to Christ, that's what's going to have to keep them. So if it's a light show, you're going to have to keep having more great light shows. If it's a blessing, you better keep having blessings. It better not be a down day. But our relationships are bad, but we live through them. That's how friends become good friends. They go through good times and bad times, and they say, you know what, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to be here, even though it's uncomfortable for me. We don't know how to show our kids how to be uncomfortable and still be happy, how to feel pain and still rejoice in God. We haven't taught them that. We haven't taught them that.
That brings me to one of the scriptures, Pastor, I was going to use tonight, two of them, actually. One is Psalms 90 and 15. The other one is Romans 8, 31 through 39. Romans 8, I'll start with that one. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Now, this is the key, verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? Listen, we have trouble as Christians? Of course we do. Or calamity, or persecuted, or we hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I am convinced, verse 38, that nothing could ever separate us from God's love, neither death. And this is some things that rock young people when someone in their life dies. They begin to question, well, if God loves me so much, why would he, you know, allow my parents, my best friend, my dog, whatever, to die? neither angels nor demons. Well, do your children know anything about angels or demons? They were real. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the New Living Translation. But I like that scripture tonight, Pastor, because, again, it points out the things, like you were saying, that happens to us in life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And then when we look at that, because, you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but that's one of the questions our children are going to ask us. Why do bad things happen to what? Good people. You know, if we're going to church every Sunday, why are we having these kind of issues? You know, why are we having the kind of struggle? Well, why can't I get tennis shoes like the other person got tennis shoes? And so the other balance of scripture I had for tonight, Psalms 90 and 15 says, make us glad for the many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. The New Living Translation says, give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace all the evil years with good. Kind of showing the balance that you're going to have, like that song we sing sometime in church, you've had some good days, you've had some bad days, you've had some hills to climb. Well, all your good days outweigh your bad days and you won't complain. Well, again, if we've shown only goodness, if we've only shown that side of Jesus that's dealing with us because we're in a prosperity kind of message, that's blessing us, like you say, blessing us with the house and cars and lands and tennis shoes and trips and us like that. But on a day when, like you say, there's a rainy day, when your lights get turned out, when your car gets wrecked, when somebody in your life dies or you get in trouble or you come down with a horrible disease or something like that, anything, any adversity in life, one thing that we have to do, and we can't wait till we get to adults to do that, is to show that in this life, again, we will have trials and we will have tribulations, but the love of God is still there. He's there with us in the valley as well as on the mountaintop. Amen.
Amen. And we have to try to take the stigma out of religion and just the reality of it. We have to show the realness of what Christianity is, and it is a mixture of good and bad. I mean, in 2 Corinthians, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. When things go wrong in our life, and we don't cave under it, we don't act like other people act, like it's the end of the world, that shows there's something different, and that difference is Christ. Everything we do points back to Him, whether it's good or bad, because we're Christians. If we do things that don't honor Him, they say, and they're Christians. When we do things that honor Him, we say they're Christians, but the perspective is different for the person. We're either drawing them to Christ, or we're pushing them away from Christ.
Pushing them away, yeah.
And so the worst thing is our children. We have to, if we don't try to win our children to Christ, how are we going to try to win other people? If we can't, and I understand that. That children make their own choices. I get that. And every saved person doesn't have saved children. I get that, too. In the Old Testament, you had Eli. His children were the worst, and they were the priests. Then Then you had Samuel that came behind him and should have learned from his mistakes, and his sons were just as bad. So it's you. They make choices on their own. The thing is, this is make sure that the choices they make weren't fostered or encouraged. The bad choices weren't fostered or encouraged by you.
That's it.
Say no. I taught them better. Chose a different direction.
That's it.
It doesn't make us feel any better. But at least we know I did what I was supposed to do. I did not handcuff them with this false religion, and that's why they can't stomach it, because they don't see it in me. And then when they try it, it doesn't work out for them. Why? Because relationships they're not always positive, but they should always be rewarding. I got friends, I got mentors that they tell me things sometimes I don't want to hear. I tell them things sometimes, things they don't want to hear. But it never enters our mind that whatever we say is going to end the friendship. Why? Because what we say to each other, we always say it for the benefit of the other, not for the benefit of the one. I don't say things to them to get the hand up on them. I say things to them because I feel there's a problem or I feel this certain way. And then they tell me, well, that's the way you feel. I don't feel that way. And it doesn't have to be with anything in our life. It could be with something simple as a situation with other people that we're both privy to and that they have both come to us, and we try to ascertain an answer for them because we care for them. So we struggle, but we take the time. With our children, it should be even more. We should take even more time for our kids. If someone asks you something, a question, you would take time. As a pastor, people ask me questions all the time. When they ask me questions, I stop and give them my full attention to answer it. We should do that with our children. I mean, my granddaughter asked me a question, and I don't care who's in front of me or who's trying to get my attention. They're not getting it until I'm done talking to her. Now, she's understood that sometimes I'm talking to people and she has to wait her turn. But when she gets her turn is as valuable as everyone else's. And I'm not done with her until she's understanding the answer to the question, or at least understands that I'm trying to give her the best answer that I have and not just giving her a two-second answer to get her out of my hair. We got to invest in our children because, you know, the children, these are the message we're sending to the future, but we're not going to be around. And the other thing that's even worse is that the way we treat our children and how we bring them up, it's going to cause them to have difficulty in their life if we don't prepare them. We have to prepare them for this life, because this is not a playground. We're in a war zone, and people keep acting like it's a playground, that we can skip around. We can't. This is a war zone. Let's treat it like that and protect our children. How? By teaching them how to act in the war zone, not always cutting in front of them and fighting for them. Sooner or later, they're going to have to fight for themselves. We have to teach them how, because like Paul said, the enemy's devices, we're not ignorant of them. We know what he uses. So let's equip our children to know and discern and have the anointing, which are words that it seemingly have disappeared from the church vocabulary. Anointing, discernment, Holy Spirit, guidance, kneeling down to pray, asking God to guide me instead of calling the pastor. Where are we that we haven't trained ourselves to or others to go into a battlefield and say, the pastor can't make it? Oh, that don't matter. I'm here and the Holy Spirit's with me. We get this. We got this, because the pastor ain't got the power. He knows where the power comes from, and he's taught us where the power comes from, and it's not in him. It's in God, and God is always with us. Relay this to our children because they will suffer. Look in the Old Testament at how many children suffered because their parents were jacked up. The kids weren't even bad. It's just they forced this on them because of the way they dishonored and disrespected God. and I can go on forever, and my time I know is about up, and I don't want to take.
One keyword, which is going to be the topic of our discussion next Wednesday, and it's that is tonight we kind of focus at least the top part of the broadcast about spending more time with your children so they can see Jesus in you, and the time and the quality of time you spend in parties. And to them, next week we're going to talk about teaching our children to pray, and so how often do your children see you praying? And I'm going to talk about this in church. Amen.
Right.
So, Pastor, I thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you can join us again next Wednesday at 7 p.m.
I will definitely try it.
Discussion. Try if you can. If we change the times, we'll let you know, but for sure, we're slated for next Wednesday at 7, and we'll be continuing our discussion. I shared with them earlier, Pastor, how normally this time of year we're starting on our Fall Back in Love, by Christmas, and we're focusing on just the parents or the couples and relationships and things like that, but we're going to spend all of November, really talking about our children and how we can, be that conduit to secure their relationship with God, for themselves. And we're not waiting till they get old, but we're doing it as the Bible says, teach your children four times a day where God brought you from.
Right.
So we'll do that this month, and we pray that children and parents will listen, because we do want to encourage them to have a right rewarding relationship with themselves, with their children, and for sure with God. Amen. So again, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Listen, if you've been tuned in, you tuned in to Dr. V with Love with Dr. V, yours truly, and our pastor, Latina ATJ. And thank you for welcoming us back again. It's been a minute since we've been together, but you know how God gave us this chemistry between each other, that we flow in the word, right? And so join us Wednesday at 7. And until then, Latina, you have those famous closing. Until then, be safe. How
stay
you put
strong,
it?
Right. Stay strong, stay focused, and stay safe.
Stay safe.
Hallelujah. Oh, I forgot to mention one thing. Latina and we're writing a book together, and it should be out in a few weeks. It's called Make Pain Pay. The rewards of victorious suffering, and we get that victory by having a praying heart, an aligned heart, and a yielded heart. And Latina has some of his best work in that book, so you're gonna want to get it. We'll be talking about it in the weeks to come, but I did mention it earlier, and I wanted to mention that again. Good night, we love you, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.